Everybody, it is now 2:09 here at Vox Pop Central, and we have an interesting topic today, and I'd love to hear from you. I really mean that. It would be great. I'd hate to be sitting here alone. The mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, last December is on record as the second deadliest mass shooting in the nation's history. 26 lives were taken, the majority of them children aged 6 and 7, and for all of you with children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, or just plain empathy, I can't think of anything worse. Now, a year later, we have a report from the state's attorney in Connecticut that profiles the killer, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, a troubled young man who took his own life following the shooting rampage. The report details a teen preoccupied with guns, violent video games, and historical massacres who shut himself up in his room away from the world. It also details a mother, Nancy Lanza, who cared for her son but didn't know how to help him. The report said she planned to buy him a gun for Christmas. Over the last year, the shooting has renewed the debate on the role of guns in American society and the treatment of individuals with mental health issues. The new report out today creates as many questions as it does answers on both issues. Today, we want to hear your opinion. What do you think of this report? And what do you think of the national dialogue and what it should be going forward? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. Do you agree with all those people who say there are just too many guns and that if this kid didn't have access to guns, he might not have done this? You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.org. facebook.com/WAMC Radio and tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Well, it's your show and I want to hear from you, and I know I will because you're wonderful and because we have the smartest and best audience in the whole world. And you know how to do things. And so we'll go to Ted, okay? We'll go to Ted. All right, Ted, you're on.
Okay, hi, Alan. Happy Hanukkah.
And to you, Ted. And Merry Christmas coming up. And
yes, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and all of that.
Happy New Year
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
My thought is this. I don't think the report was even necessary. Uh-huh. It just brings up something that has happened. It's water under the bridge. It happened. We knew the kid was troubled. My thought is this. Yes, this could have manifested itself within 3-4 months. It could have manifested itself 6 years, and then he acted on it because things mentally got worse. His mother could have taken a more proactive approach, but who cares? It happened. And an analogy to that is the kid who shot up the in Washington with the three, he had a clearance for 6 years, but his mental illness didn't manifest itself for 3 months before. And the police, when they sit there and somebody's saying, "I'm hearing voices," should have sat there and said, "We got to get this kid help." That's my thought.
Well, you have good thoughts. I want to say that I take it a little bit differently. I think that this was an important report, and I'll tell you why. Because when something like this comes before the people, it raises a certain amount of consciousness about what's going on in your street, in your building. If you see something, say something. It might not be that you're going to cure all the ills of society, but when you see something, we saw something here the other day, and we called the police department. I don't think they thought it was enough to act on, but we did what was right because we thought it was a dangerous situation involving a gun. And what happens is that if you're conscious about what's going on, and this report helps to raise that, yes, it brings a lot of pain, and it was very painful for me to even read it, but I got to tell you, I think it's important.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. We want to hear from you. It's great to see these lights blinking. Let's go to Jay in Northampton. Okay, Joy. Is it Joy or Jay?
Jay.
Jay. Okay, Jay, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
The problem is a lack of meaningful gun control in this country. You know, a person has very little option to hurt others without weaponry. And, you know, I've had knives pulled on me in the past when I lived in New York City. And the first time it happened, I looked at the fellow in astonishment because I thought it was a joke. Because as a sculptor, I cut myself all the time. He pulled a kitchen knife on me, and I almost laughed in his face. A gun's another matter.
Yep.
The fact that nothing is being done about gun control is an indictment of our government, certainly, if not our society at large. You know, I grew up with guns. I hunted all my life. You know, nobody needs automatic or semi-automatic weaponry. Up to 5 shots for hunting purposes is okay, but assault weapons have no, you know, no one I've ever known who was a hunter used an assault rifle. They destroy an animal. You know, they don't kill an animal, they destroy it. The bullet tumbles and tears up the meat. You know, nobody shoots them in the woods, so nobody should, you know, have them available.
Well, you know, Jay, you make.
I know you don't disagree with me.
No, I don't disagree with you. I certainly don't. And you say nothing is being done. Well, you got a mayor of New York, an outgoing mayor, who is funding candidates all over the country.
No, but I mean on a federal level.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's trying very hard, and, you know, he tends to do what's right, and I'm a big admirer of his for that. But in any case, you mentioned the word gun. This morning, I didn't say I was opposed to guns, but some guy called up when we were on, said, Alan said he's all guns or whatever. It's just nonsense. I didn't. I don't like guns. I'm married to a woman who hates guns.
I'm agnostic on that point. Yeah. They serve a purpose.
Yeah.
But you know, you can get them anywhere. And the fact that people with, you know, diagnosed mental illnesses can get them readily is ridiculous.
Sure.
I have a problem with marketing guns to children. You know, they talk about, you know, gateway drugs, so to speak.
Sure.
You know, as a friend of mine said of young boys, when they turn a year and a half, when they pick up a stick, they're assumed to hit you with it as they are to shoot you with it. There's, you know, you can say they're predisposed.
Right.
You know, there's a proliferation of gun toys available. I mean, why don't we have gun buybacks of toys? You know, in the city of Northampton, maybe the mayor could say, you know, have a Christmas time gun buyback of toys. Just to make a point.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's interesting. We certainly have a gun-oriented society. Hey, Jay, there's a lot of people lined up behind you. We thank you for the call, and I very much appreciate your good words. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Rick in Saugerties. Rick, you're on.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
Well, so
nice,
far,
great
so good.
Day, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I want to give you my take on this. I just, my youngest son just turned 20, so I just raised two boys, one's 25, one's 20. I grew up in the 70s. And my father grew up in the 40s and 50s. America has always had access to guns. Anyone could buy a gun in this country. It's not a new thing. What really is the most disturbing thing to me and what I don't see in the dialogue is how a generation from, say, the 80s and 90s to now has been so desensitized to violence. From the beginning of the real violent, like, killing without reprisal. You know, in movies, there was always a code. There were war movies, and how many people your age grew up with war movies where hundreds of Japs and Jerrys, you know, were shot by John Wayne, and no one went out, and these kind of events never happened, these mass murders in America, or rarely. But now, I have kids that come to my house, and fortunately, my son doesn't really care about video games. If they play these video games, they are so unbelievably disturbing. They just blow people away with no reprisal whatsoever. There's no cost.
Gotcha. So would you make them illegal?
I don't think it's the guns.
Would you make the videos illegal?
I don't know if I'd make them necessarily illegal. I may want to rate them better, more the way movies are rated, and keep underage kids away from them in a more strict way. But I think most of all, is the culture. There's really not a lot combating that except for extreme religious rightism, which is just as bad. So I think a lot of it has to do with parents indulging their kids. Very smart, very progressive, very thoughtful parents. I know plenty of thoughtful parents in Woodstock whose kids are playing Grand Theft Auto all day long and their parents think it's okay. I have a restaurant where little kids play shoot 'em up video games when they're 4 years old on their parents' iPhone instead of their parents engaging them and having dinner with them in the restaurant. Yeah. I think it's parents' responsibility to really engage their kids and explain to them that this is not real and you shouldn't really be spending a lot of time doing this, but also just a sense, a moral sense of being.
Well,
you know,
Rick,
teaching the, you know.
Rick, we have to take a break, but first of all, congratulations on all you're doing and all you've done. And secondly,
and you too, baby.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. And Zach and Emily and Norm, stay in. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC goes on Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Annual holiday marketplace featuring a gallery of wreaths, local vendors, crafts, and more, December 7th from 10 to 5 and December 8th from 10 to 4 p.m. BerkshireBotanical.org. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm. SnowFarm.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art, Facebook, or visionexceleyecare.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com.
And we are back with the Vox Pop. The question today is mental health, guns, tragedy. Whether a report should have been issued or not, I'm fiercely in favor of it having been issued, as difficult as it was to read about those Newtown shootings again. But I think it raises a certain amount of consciousness. Phones are ringing. Let's go to Zach in Hamden. Okay, Zach, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, of course. Go ahead.
I mostly wanted to comment on your last speaker, Rich, and how he was talking about how he thought that the video games were largely responsible, and I really wanted to disagree with that.
Let me just stop you and ask you if you think there is a possibility that they were in any part responsible.
Oh, of course, but I don't confuse correlation with causation, and I think it's the internet as a whole, and you know, every kid under a certain age and over a certain age, they've seen so many more disturbing things than you or I have ever seen, and there's no way to stop that. There really is no way to stop that. What I would really like to see is a greater attack on the mental health problems in this country. Virtually every other first world country has way more funding for that, and I would really like to see more of that rather than trying to throw the blame on any particular violent act.
Well, don't you think it's a mixture of a lot of different things? I mean, the availability of guns. A kid sees a gun in a house, he doesn't understand it's not a toy, or she doesn't understand it. Say he actually understands it's not a toy, doesn't get the whole thing, has been watching people blow people away on video games. It's all part of a fabric, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I agree with you there, but I think we see with the war on drugs, approaching it from the supply point of view doesn't really do it. You have to approach from the demand point of view, meaning you have to approach it with the actual way we really look at how these kids view it. I mean, I don't think that you can ever take away their accessibility to it. I think you have to approach it on a kid-by-kid level.
Can't you do things like trigger locks and locked gun cases? And, without taking away the guns, can't you make it more difficult? I mean, we make rules for who can drive a car, for example.
Yeah, I definitely think you can, but I don't think it'll have as big as an effect as we hope it would. You know, these kids are still going to have these violent issues. These kids are still going to just not be all there in terms of family values.
Well, but if you save one life, I mean, that's what you have to do here. You save one life by saying to Papa, you must put a lock on that gun, or you must put a lock on that case, or you have to have certain rules for underage kids, or you have to do something about violent video games. And you know, we don't let kids buy pornography. Why are we letting kids, get into this garbage?
You don't let them buy pornography, but they see it anyway. Yeah,
no, some do and some don't. I mean, that's the point. You can't talk either or. You can't say either it's everything or nothing. I don't think.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, and I would love to see more restrictions on guns, but I think the main thing is to understand that the kids are going to see the stuff anyway and to really let them know that reality is not the internet.
Well, yeah, some people have parents who will do that, and some people don't have parents who will not do it. And, you know, in the case of this report, a mother who was very worried about her son and thought that the way that you dealt with this kid was to give him a gun.
More iPads in schools. How about that? I would start there.
Hey, Zach, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. And let's go to Emily in Warwick. Emily in Warwick, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good, Emily. How are you, more importantly?
Good. I'm fantastic. I just wanted to state I'm in my 30s. I grew up in a culture of things coming at us very, very quickly, things being violent, us being exposed to a lot more violence than my parents' generation was exposed to. And I think that a huge problem, I grew up around guns, and I was always taught gun safety. I don't know how I feel about the gun issue. I'm kind of in the middle. My boyfriend's a cop, so it's kind of hard for me to have a...
Well, what does your boyfriend, the cop, think about the availability of guns for people who could take a shot at him?
That's the thing, is that he believes in gun control, but he doesn't believe in he believes if you have a mental health issue, you shouldn't be able to get one. But that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, is that back in the 70s, you know, if you went to a therapist, you were crazy. And now, you know, we have the accessibility of all these different places that you can bring your children. As a small child, I was diagnosed with anxiety, and I wasn't put on medication, but it was dealt with. And I think that, you know, if you have cancer or if you have the flu, you go to a doctor. And I think that people need to start approaching the mental health issues of this generation in a way that you would approach your child having a broken leg. And I think that that is a huge issue, especially with younger children now. They're losing their empathy. You know, they're text messaging, they're online, they're not engaging with other people like my grandparents did. And so they're losing this sense of empathy that they have with the greater world around them.
Okay, so Emily, how do you deal with that? I mean, what do you do?
It's hard because it saddens me. I work with kids a lot, and I don't really know what it is you would do. I think it's the parents' responsibility to actively engage their children more with other children and with other types of people.
Well, I accept that, Emily, but I have a question for you. How do we know? I mean, all parents aren't alike. We have some parents who are themselves really out of it.
Absolutely.
And we don't have enough really good therapists, I suspect.
I agree. It's still a new science.
And you know, while we say these things, you know, the morning after a shooting like that, what do we do? I mean, that's what this program's all about. What do we do?
Right. I really think that it has to be a not a global change, but it has to be a community change in the way that this country handles violence, in the way that this country deals with fear and deals with mental illness and guns. I mean, there was this shooting in Scotland, you know, where the song "I Don't Hate Mondays" came from. And because of that, gun regulations were put very, very strongly in the UK.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe that's where we need to be headed, is towards stronger gun regulations. But we also need to deal with the fact that we're raising a generation of children who are really losing their empathy, who are really losing their ability to feel for other human beings in the way that, say, my grandparents' generation or my mother's generation did.
Emily, thank you for the call. Appreciate it
very much. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, let's go to Norm in Corinth. Okay, Norm, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How's it going?
Well, so far, so good. But it's a sad day when you read a report like this.
Oh, I know. Well, I think the report needed to come out. I mean, I think this thing finally, you know, needed to have some kind of closure, and I think the report helps with that. But, you know, I think the biggest thing, I mean, are there too many guns? Sure there are. Are we going to do away with them? Absolutely not. It's never going to happen. We're never going to get rid of all the guns. And, you know, I don't personally own a gun, but I've always said the day my government tells me I can't have one, that's the day I'm going to need to get one, because after that we'll need one, you know. So, okay, that aside, I think one of the biggest, not the only problem, there are many problems with this with this entire issue. I think one of the problems is that we don't have enough accountability of, you know, the majority of gun owners are responsible people. I know a lot of people that are gun owners. They're all very responsible people. But I think what we don't do is I don't think we are harsh enough on the irresponsible gun owners. You know, a majority of the times when a young person, a child, an underage child, you know, gets a hold of a gun, typically because it was laying around the house, it wasn't locked up properly.
Okay, I accept all this. Hey, Norm, I accept this. What would you do? Would you pass laws saying, okay, if you left your gun lying around and it wasn't locked up, you know, that's a crime?
Yes, I think that, unfortunately, this young man's mother paid with her life, okay? But I think that in a case like that where a child is found, you know, kid goes to school with a gun, okay, I think we need to come down hard on the parents that left that gun out and left it available to that child. They're, like I said, most gun owners are very responsible people. The few that are irresponsible, I think, in large part, that's where a lot of these kids are getting a hold of these guns. I think the laws, the rules, you know, the accountability for those irresponsible gun owners, I think, needs to be a lot harsher.
Okay, that's a point you have now made a couple of times, and I appreciate it, Norm, and call again, okay?
Okay, take it easy now.
Yeah, thanks, Norm. Well, let's go to Jane in New Paltz. Jane in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey.
Well, you were just discussing what I was thinking all along.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, no one objects to licensing their car, to learning how to drive and getting a license and renewing it every so many years and getting insurance on it. Why is it so objectionable to ask people who handle weapons that shoot multiple bullets at a time to register them and have to learn how to handle them and how to secure them from young people or people who shouldn't have them? I don't see the objection. I don't see that as hurting anyone.
Well, you know, the problem, Jane, is there's a powerful gun lobby out there. I mean, extraordinarily powerful. And that the moment that you say anything as intelligent as what you have just said is, and it sure is intelligent, comes the question, okay, this is just the first step to taking our guns away. And now you get the NRA and other groups who, you know, get out there and scare the hell out of, legislators and other people who would make these laws and rules. I think, by the way, Michael Bloomberg happens to be extremely courageous because there's somebody with a screw loose who's going to say, I got to get this guy. And I hate that idea that, you know, if you speak your mind in this country, you subject yourself to some kind of threats or, and we know that they get them, for being out there.
I can't see the rationale when you don't object to having your car licensed, insured, that you would object to this.
Jane, could you speak into the microphone or whatever because you're getting lower?
I'm sorry. I'm on this stupid phone, which I just bought recently and I don't like. Anyway, my complaint with people is nobody has given me a solid, good reason why they shouldn't register, take a course on how to handle a gun and how to maintain it and keep it in a safe place. That, to me, seems just common sense.
You mean sort of like I had to take driver education in high school. You could give a course in safety, including guns, maybe.
I would think so, too. Mm-hmm. One of my sons took a course for handling tractors when he was in high school.
Uh-huh.
It was a very good learning experience for him.
Okay, Jane, I think you've made your point, and I think you've made it well. I appreciate your call. Thanks again, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Bye. Let's go to Betty in Rosendale. Betty, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Betty.
I have two points. One is Adam Lanza's father is never really mentioned. I know he left the family. He had the wherewithal, though, to be able to send his wife, I don't know how many thousands a month. Why aren't we holding him as responsible as his wife in this instance, as a parent? And why don't we talk about him and his role? Is he in the report, by the way?
I don't know.
They mention him?
They did mention him? I don't know if they mentioned him.
All right, but every commentary so far I've heard, other than, you know, is not about Adam's father, only about his mother.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Betty. So
sure.
We have a country where half the marriages end in divorce, and a lot of those people
yes.
have children, right?
So
my question is, every time something bad happens, is it because the father has disappeared from the marriage?
Well, or is it because the mother took sole responsibility and she was not making very good judgments? Yeah. Where is that? He hadn't disappeared. He was in New Haven or in Hartford or something.
Yeah.
But he was sending money every month. Why wasn't he personally involved in this?
Well, think of all the fathers who don't send money every month.
Yeah, I know. That's not my issue. My issue is the way it's reported is that it's all on that mom, who I think, you know, I don't have much of sympathy for a mother who takes her kid out shooting and et cetera, but I know that was her culture. She had brothers who were policemen. She was from New Hampshire, and it was her culture. But at the same time, I didn't have much sympathy for the way she handled this. But she also had a lot of money. She could have gotten him help, but the father could have stepped in, could have come back, spent time, said, no, Mom, you're not doing this. But I don't hear anything about that. But the second thing I was going to say is violence is entertainment in our culture. We sexualize kids, and we also make them immune to violence. It's everywhere all the time. Every media is filled with violence, and that has become a very rampant. I mean,
because several people have said that, Betty. What's your fix?
My fix is to start looking at these things in the face and say, okay, starting with giving little children a warm environment in preschool, in education, let them do developmental activities that are appropriate for their age, not test them, not make teachers scared to death of having a kid have a bad score. Let's nurture these little kids. Once I read about Shakers, the Shaker community, who, when they planted a tree in the ground, they put all sorts of nourishment in there, they gently put it in, they talked to the tree, and they said, this should be done with children. That was like over 100 years ago.
Betty, you've had your turn. I appreciate your call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We're running out of time before the next break, but let's try to get one more in. Michael in Albany. Okay, Michael, you're on.
Hey, Alan, I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
I wanted to say there's a three-pronged approach to this that we're not really looking at.
Okay.
The first one is a lack of any real spiritual development in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Science has replaced spirituality, and there's a void there that needs to be filled. Second, I think there's a direct relationship between the psychotropics that are being distributed in our society and...
You mean the psychotropic drugs, right?
Right,
yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
And the increase in mass killings. And thirdly, women have gained economic freedom, and there's another void there. We don't have a woman in the home helping to raise a family.
Okay, so wait a second. Are you saying on the psychotropics that it's your understanding that as people get the psychotropic drugs, they are killing more?
Well, I mean, look at when those things started to get released.
Well, think of all the other things that have happened since then also, including the violence and the guns.
Yeah, but what specific things affect the mind and how people view other people?
Let's go back to the religion part, the spirituality. I take it you think that could make a difference.
Of course. If people have a spiritual compass to guide their lives by, then they have a set of rules they live by and ethics. And if that's lacking, what is going to take its place?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I get it. Michael, very interesting. I'm interested in your hypothesis about the psychotropics. Perhaps somebody might call and react to that. Thank you again, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Don. Bye.
Okay. We'll take a short break, and we will be right back.
Support for WAMC goes to the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, Rosendale, New York, a newly renovated Hudson Valley boutique hotel featuring 12 guest rooms with modern amenities. Holiday gift certificates available online, the1850house.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. And Albany Pro Musica, presenting a Pro Musica Christmas, a Christmas concert featuring classic and contemporary holiday choral music, December 7th and December 8th, at the Carondelet Provincial House, Latham, New York, albanypromusica.org.
1-800-348-2551, just one free phone, lonely number 3, which I know that our wonderful chief engineer, Patrick, is going to get fixed one of these days, so we know when it's on. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Dave in Franklin County. All right, Dave, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. Hey. It's always a pleasure to listen to your show.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Well, I thank you for that. I was calling with two thoughts. One was every time we seem to have some sort of something like Sandy Hook happen, which right. seems to happen in Aurora, it happened in Arizona. It seems like it's always a mental instability issue, and it's too bad that something cannot be done at the federal level to open up doctors' records so the people that are in this mode do not get guns, period.
Well, you know, that's a tough one, Dave. As you know, I mean, if we start saying, okay, we're going to open up all doctors' records, now you can ask a doctor to report. You know that, right? If they think there's a death, danger or something terrible, I think in many states they're mandated to report. But there will be people who don't go to see helpers, mental health people, because they think that the files are open. Would that be counterproductive?
Well, I think if it comes down to saving a life of the child, I would say yes. I think the life of the child, who's the innocent one in all of this, that trumps the doctor-patient rights.
But you do see the connection that there might be somebody who needs the help, who might save a life by going to see a therapist, but who
right.
would be afraid of going because they knew that they would be outed for doing so.
Well, I think that's the other second end of my thought, is that illegal guns are what, in a lot of cases, if it's not the individual that is buying a gun, like out in Colorado, who should never have been able to buy a gun,
right.
If that had been in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, or California, that person never would have been able to own a gun.
So you are opposed. You would put a mental health somehow test on top of getting a gun.
I think it's time that we have to reevaluate some of that. Yes, I do.
How do you know? I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I certainly agree with you, but. But how do you know who's got a mental health issue?
Well, I don't have the answer for that. I'm just thinking of the lives that could be saved, mm-hmm. the innocent lives
yeah.
of people. And I think at some point you have to make a call and say the privacy of a few is outweighed by the living majority of the many.
But how do you know who's mentally ill?
Well, you know as well as I do, I don't have the answer to that. I just think that we need to start exploring this.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I also, as horrific as Sandy Hook was and is and still is, I can't believe in the last year we have not, as a nation, had a conversation about Chicago and Cook County, which Chicago is part of, and the 550 people that died out there.
Yep.
And again, most
of that... we had a conversation in that the Attorney General was there yesterday addressing that issue. Not
well,
that it means a lot.
Well
yeah.
I'm very well aware. He has more ATF going out there,
right.
and he's trying to put more, keep the police on the street. Out there too. I'm very well informed on this.
Okay,
stuff.
Dave. Because there are five people behind you, make a final statement, and then that'll be it for you. Go ahead.
I just say thank you for taking my call, and
sure.
I always appreciate your
And Dave, we love having you on the show. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Okay.
Okay.
1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Eli in New Hartford. Eli, you're on.
Hi, Ellen. You know, not why I called, but of course here in New York State, we've got Governor Cuomo's gun law,
Safe
which
Act.
Most of my friends despise. And yeah. that law simply states that a mental health professional whose patient brings up the threat of violence to himself or to other people, that professional has the option, not even required, simply has the option to notify the local authorities and have looked into that if this person has weaponry, they can be taken away from it.
Okay. Okay.
That would not have prevented, you know, any of the aforementioned tragedies that the gentleman.
But it might. But it might
about.
Prevent something. And as
yeah,
I said,
yeah,
before,
oh yeah,
it's not
yeah,
a
yeah, I, oh absolutely, yeah. absolutely.
Okay, let's go on, Eli, because there are a lot of people behind
okay,
you. Go ahead.
Well, it's a good idea. So, what my idea is, I hear a lot of people with tremendous ideas. I don't see them any way. Most of them could be inactuated, except we did have a ban on assault weaponry for 10 years. Politicians. You know, feared the NRA, and they let the ban lapse. You know, Ronald Reagan came out for that ban, the hero of, you know, most of my friends. He said it was very important. It would save many lives. I believe he was true. I think that all of these tragedies, there were components of mental illness and assault weapons.
Okay, so far we agree. Now what would you do about it?
Well, I would think the one thing that should come is the reinstatement of the ban.
And how do you get that? You start to lobby, but there's a terrible silence among people who are not gun owners on this issue, I think.
Well, I think it's over 60%, Alan, that people want those weapons banned.
Oh, yeah.
If you check out the polls, maybe problem is they're not vocal enough, perhaps. But,
they are not, Eli, a solid voting block. Meaning
right.
that when you're running, even if it's 40-60, if the 40 are willing to vote against you as their most
right.
salient issue, goodbye.
Right, I think that's exactly the problem. But we need more people like the mayor of New York City.
Yeah, like Bloomberg.
You know, we need these people from Connecticut to be more vocal. What is the loss? These assault weapons, to me, I wish a gun owner would call in and tell me why they need it. To me, they're toys. They take them to ranges, and they fire up a storm. Can't
yeah.
they give up their toy?
Hey, Eli.
Can't they give up their little toy? How many people
Eli,
would be alive?
Eli,
Adam
Eli, Eli,
yeah.
Eli, my friend, you're done. I don't know you
okay.
knew that, but you made a lot of good points, and we appreciate it. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Jennifer in North Adams. Okay, Jennifer, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I'm a child protective social worker.
Right.
And I find it amazing to listen to a lot of people's perspective on this issue.
Uh-huh.
We value so much more than prevention and education. It's not the guns. It's about what do you do with the resources.
Right. You don't have enough.
How do we educate our people, whether young or old? How do we address mental illness? Our resources are cut left and right. They pay people more money to work on a computer than they do on human resources. It's about educating people about violence.
Well, okay, and how do you get to the numbers? Because I certainly agree with you. But, Jennifer, how do you get to the numbers of people you need to reach? Now, remember, the guy, Adam Lanza, is an aberration in our society. People, this
right.
doesn't happen every day. So
no.
how do you get to individual people whose mothers are lauding guns, who are taking them to the firing range, who are going to buy them a gun for either a birthday or Christmas or whatever else? How do you deal with that as a child protection person?
I grew up with a family of brothers, my father, my uncles. They all hunted. They all respected their weapons. And it was an education and safety issue. I think we don't have the resources to go into homes, into schools, and do this type of education.
Okay, who would you have do that, Jennifer?
I don't have the answer to that. You know, I struggle with this issue of violence every single
day. I bet you do, and thank you, by the way. Thank you for doing
it. It is. It's a tough job. But at the same time, I think our society values many more things financially than they do human resources. And putting money into families and communities and education, I mean, that's what needs to happen.
So what profession? Social workers? Who would you give the in a perfect, your world, a Jennifer world, who would you give that responsibility to?
I think schools and community agencies that are out working on a day-to-day basis with families.
So a violence curriculum, my wife started, among others, among other people, the first Holocaust unit, in the country. And it made a difference, I think. So would it be a unit on violence that every high school kid had to take?
I think it has to be multifaceted. I think that's just one component.
Okay.
I think there has to be resources for children to participate in healthy activities. I think there's a multifaceted aspect.
Okay, so that would mean more taxes, and it would mean more redistributive, which I'm for, by the way, approach. And the minute you do that, you will hear from, you put it in the schools, and you'll certainly hear from certain gun owners who think there's a certain amount of prejudice involved, right? And you'll hear from those people who say, hey, I don't want my tax dollars going for this kind of prevention, won't you?
But I just listened to an awful lot of people who had some pretty strong opinions.
Yeah.
About people who are less fortunate than we are.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, Jennifer, a lot of people behind you. We thank you for the very good call. And congratulations again on your good work. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Bye. Let's go to Devin in Belchertown. Devin, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I will try to make this as quick as possible.
Can you do it in a sentence? I'll give you an example. There is no proven link between violence and video games.
There is no proven link between violence and video games.
So that would be a sentence.
There actually have been many studies that have shown the opposite, that video games actually act as a pressure release valve. And I think the real problem that we have is that it's very easy to point to violent movies, violent TV, violent video games as the cause.
Devin, in all honesty, let's say you're doing a mass study of this kind of thing. Don't you think it's possible that one kid who watched video games incessantly couldn't make the distinction between what was a game and what was a real gun?
Well, the link that is proven there is that many kids who have already some sort of a mental issue have that trouble. But if you take a child that's in, I don't like to use the word normal, but for this purpose, it's a quick way to say it. If you take a child that's in a normal circumstance, the link between the video game and real world violence is just not made.
No. I hear you. I understand that. But you say that if the guy has, or if the child has a mental health issue, that they might be pulled over the line by the video game. Isn't that what I just heard you say?
There is the possibility.
Okay. I'm accepting that. Now the question is, on anything else, would you give a stimulus to somebody that you knew had the potential to commit violence as a result of that stimulus?
Absolutely not. And that's where the role of the parents and the role of society at large.
What if the parent isn't available?
How do we answer that? I mean, if the parent's not available, someone had mentioned the video game rating system. It's actually the highest rated system in the media. It's even more strictly rated than movies. But the problem is that a lot of people are not involved in what their kids are doing.
Or a lot of kids say, I want the highest rated. I want the highest rated violent video game.
Exactly. Yeah. But the parents are theoretically supposed to be involved.
Theoretically, but we do know there are a lot of parents who can't mentally ill themselves or who are out of the house or, who don't have the time for it. Or split
Absolutely.
Marriages. Yeah. Hey, Devin, thanks for the very good call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Let's go to John in East Otis. John in East Otis, you're gone. You're on.
Hey, what's happening, Alan?
Not much, but we're running out of time. Go ahead.
All right. It's a social issue.
Okay.
You got too many people not being supervised. You got kids left home alone, being babysat by that stuff. There's guns at home. There's too many fathers and too many whacked-out moms. That's the other thing. Everybody's so afraid.
Hey, John, could you speak into the phone? We're hearing you having a problem getting you.
I'm speaking into the phone. How's that? Can you hear me now?
Well, let me put it this way. It's much better than it was 2 seconds ago. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, that's good. So the thing is you get all these people out there, and this, like Adam Lanza. I guarantee you that there's another 1,000 kids or millions of kids like Adam Lanza sitting at home watching this crap and that are being bullied at school. We don't have enough money to put into schools to watch these kids to start supervising and see these issues. I mean,
okay, we're running out of time. John, what's the fix?
What's the fix?
Yep.
There's no easy fix because then all of a sudden all the constitutional rights come into it and this comes into it and that comes into it. Everybody wants to live free and die, but everybody still wants to get their check from the government every month and they don't want their rights infringed upon, but yet they want all these rights. Well,
not only people, hey, John, not only people who have who get a check from the government are people who go get to guns. You know that as well as I do, right?
Well, I mean, you know, let's put it this way. I just took my kid to a gun course, and there was three families there with a father and a kid that they couldn't pass the course. And just looking at the people, everybody that was there was like, thank God they didn't pass, because that's the guy that's going to have a kid that would grab the gun and go and probably shoot somebody.
Okay,
and
John. Okay, John, only because we're out of time, I thank you.
Not a problem.
Cool. Thanks again. Let's go to Bill in Albany. Very quickly, Bill, can you do it in a sentence?
Yeah, I just think that it's all pretty much a result of lack of empathy. The violence in Chicago had very little to do with mental illness. It had a lot to do with a lack of empathy. There's just something...
Okay, help me with this. What do you mean by empathy in this case?
Well, I just think that there's a big difference in it. There's miles between shooting somebody in a video game and shooting somebody in real life. To shoot somebody in real life, something's not there in the psyche to prevent you from doing that.
Okay.
And all these people share this trait.
Okay. Okay, Bill, gotcha. We're out of time. I thank you for your call. Let's go to Doug in Doug, wherever you are in. Go ahead, Doug. Can you do it in a sentence?
Alan, I'd say as a life member of the NRA, like our cars, there should be a federal law with training, buying guns, and everything from Massachusetts to California, as opposed to letting each and every state make their own laws.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of this, I think, would be cleaned up.
But you got a Supreme Court that says no.
Well, I understand that, and I belong to an organization that says no. And, as a red Republican in Pittsfield, Mass., I don't agree with the party all the time, but I think, the Supreme Court's wrong.
Doug,
what I think.
Gotcha, and we appreciate the call. We're out of time. Thank you very much. All right, so that's that. We are out of time, and thank you, everybody who's called in today. I appreciate it very much. I really mean that. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, offering implant dentistry to replace missing teeth. Padula, DDS.com. And the College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And the Daily Hampshire Gazette, 225 years of providing news and information for Hampshire County, GazetteNet.com. And again, thanks for joining us on the Vox Pop. Conversation continues online at WMC Vox Pop on Twitter, Facebook.com/WMC Radio. Thank you to Blaze Bryant and Patrick Garrett for answering the phones. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered, as I said, by Blaze and Patrick. Tom Job handled our social media. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.